His arms are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
Oh God of revival, let hope arise. Death is overcome.
And good morning and welcome to Wednesday Live. David, it's already Wednesday again, and here we are. It looks like beautiful Palm City, Florida, as Hubert McIntosh used to tell us. We are right here in the middle of a gorgeous state, and I trust all of you godly people got out and voted yesterday, and you along with me are continuing to pray and believe God for a great awakening in our land, a great revival in our land, and that this will touch every aspect of society. Well, Treasure Coast Christian Alliance is in part the sponsor for this program today, and we want to just thank them and their board for coming alongside of WCNO and making this ministry possible. So thank you to Chris and all the team that's out there. In fact, I am looking forward to getting a hold of a dear friend, Chap Dave Thompson, here in just a moment. But Karen, I think you and David have some things to share with us, maybe.
Yes, I have. Let's see, our friend Kim Stryker had called in or emailed in asking for prayer for Eli. I believe his name's Eli. And he has cancer. And we don't know much more about that, but he's young. I think maybe he's 4 or 5. Somehow I think I remember her saying that. And it doesn't look like a good prognosis.
Why don't we just lift that up in prayer right now as we open the program today?
Yes, so Father God, we just lift up Eli to you. Lord Jesus, we know that you have your hand upon his life, God. And Lord, we know that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus, you come to give life and life more abundantly. And Father God, we just speak against that cancer in the name of Jesus. And we just command all of those cancer cells to shrivel up and dry up and leave his body in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask that by your Spirit, God, that you would bring restoration to him, and that every cell, every tissue, every organ in his body would function in the way that you created it to function. And Father, we just lift up his family and all those that love him, God, and we just ask your peace and strength and grace upon them, Lord. Amen. And Father, let them believe in faith, God, that you would do a miracle in Eli's life. And we thank you, God, for hearing and answering our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And David, did you have any mail? I didn't remember if you had anything today or not.
No.
Karen, why don't you just give out the phone numbers here at the station and let people know if there's anything that is discussed today and they're looking for more information and contact, that they can give us a call and we'll try to help them out.
Yes, you can call us at 888-221-8990. That's 888-221-8990. And then also, if you want to leave a comment on our website, you can use the prayer request form on the website. If you want to make a comment, have a prayer request, or whatever you'd like,
or a praise report.
Or a praise report.
Yes, we
let's
love
see
to
if we can find Chaplain Chaplain Dave out here somewhere.
I think he's still snoozing. He
well, I don't know. No, maybe we'll see if we can get him on the phone. Right, of course, the webpage, that's a good place to go and give us prayer requests, praise reports, and keep us updated. Dave, are you with us?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good deal. Welcome to WCNO, and this is Chaplain Dave Thompson. Dave, you've been in ministry in this area for a while, haven't you?
Yeah, since the early 80s, Jonathan.
Early 80s. Are you old enough?
For a long time.
You must have been a kid when you started.
I was. I was single. I had a singles ministry for about 3 or 4 years. I met Deborah. We got married. And
wait a minute. Did you meet her through the singles ministry?
Actually, she brought me to it, and then she quit going out with me. I guess she wanted to see if I was for real.
Oh, okay. Well,
which it was a great spot to land, and I learned so much from some of the leaders in the group, and then eventually I became leader, and it was like a springboard. It got me into ministry. We opened up a Christian counseling center. We did a whole bunch of things that were instrumental in me getting into ministry. The O'Higgins got me over to a Bible school over in Bradenton, and then
talking about Paul and Nula, huh?
Yeah, they were kind of like my spiritual godfathers.
We just had them on air last week.
wonderful people. And then Chuck Longworth,
another brother,
had a charismatic church in the early 80s, and eventually got ordained through Chuck, and then a door opened at Longwood to be their chaplain for about 15 years, and did counseling with churches throughout the Treasure Coast for a number of years, and we opened a church long enough for me to appreciate pastors and what they do, but right. To realize I'm better working. You got to be a businessman to run a church successfully, and I'm so into ministry that those things are not as significant for me, and somebody's got to take care of them, but I figured that's not going to be me. So then I ended up here at the sheriff's office, Jonathan, in 05. And
so which sheriff's office? For people listening down in Fort Lauderdale, they don't know where you are. Where do you work?
County? St. Lucie County Sheriff's Office. I'm their senior staff chaplain. I've been here, I'm going on 18 years now, but I have responsibility for the spiritual needs of our 1,300-member inmate population, and we have an 800-member staff that I'm their pastor if they get sick or someone dies, somebody needs to get married. And then because I have a mental health practitioner degree, I'm kind of like the first responder for our deputies when they get in a crisis. And we have some great counseling ministries that I can refer people to, whether they're Christians or not. I mean, there's some great practitioners in the area. And always been a community guy. It seems like the significance for me is the body of Christ. Being a chaplain is such a rich reservoir of talent and power for so many people. We have a real multitude of people that come out here, Jonathan. Back in the day before COVID, I probably had a couple hundred volunteers assisting, and even at the hospital when I was there, back in the day, Longwood was it. Port St. Lucie Hospital was just starting out, and there wasn't much else here other than Martin down your way and Indian River up in Vero. So really got to know most of our ministerial community, and really appreciated who they were and what they did. And then, of course, Jim Way got me involved in a prayer initiative, and for 6 years in the early 90s, it was powerful, really did a lot to bring some walls down between our black and white ministries and churches, and a lot of powerful things happened. And then the Lord resurrected that thing about 18 years later, and we've been meeting for 7.5 years every Tuesday. You know, pastors and men in ministry just praying for our community, and it's been very powerful. You know, God's done a lot of good things.
All right, Dave. So we want to talk about an upcoming event while I've got you on air, and I know that this is part of your heart. And part of our staff here, we have a David here as well, David Francoeur. And David Francoeur, you know, he has a program on the station, and David is always talking about the coming revival, revival. Right, David?
Amen, amen.
Yeah, so we're believing God for that, and you are involved in an initiative, David, that I know is going across counties, and it's really more of a Treasure Coast and maybe even larger evangelistic and celebration event. Tell us about that, the name, well, where it's going to be, what's going to happen, who's involved, how people can get involved.
Jonathan, the Lord said to call it Miracle on the Water. And we're going to be doing a 7-day event the week before Thanksgiving, the 12th to the 18th. It's an open outdoor area that is right on the waterfront when you come over the South Beach Bridge. And they do lots of events there, and we spoke with the manager of the marina, Buzz Smythe, and Buzz was very excited to have us there. In fact, he was very generous in what he charged us to meet there. But we're a lot of people have said that there's going to be a huge awakening in America, and it's going to start in Florida. And back in 08, I was at a conference with Cindy Jacobs and Chuck Pearson, and Cindy said, let me tell you where it's going to start. And she got a map of Florida, no cities, and she just pointed to the Treasure Coast, Jonathan. I said, holy cow, Deborah, that's us. And so I talked with John Hamilton about what we're doing. He's very excited as well at Central Assembly. And John said, you know, Dave, I've heard 10 other prophetic words that Fort Pierce was going to be a place where everything was going to begin and not necessarily end. So we feel like the Lord said, get ready. There's a wave of my presence is coming to this region. And so we all, the guys in the prayer group and some people from down south, in February, had almost what we would call like a visitation. We went over to that property. One of the fellows, Frank Marciano, came up from Delray, has a prayer initiative for Florida called Prayer Florida for Jesus. And when he got on that ground, it was like the Lord said, Frank, I'm going to do something big right here. So, of course, he called me because he's not from here. He's from Delray. And myself and Apostle Banks and our prayer group went over the next week. We walked on the ground and prayed. And it bore witness to us, Jonathan, that God said, I'm going to do something. We prayed and said, well, when, Lord? He said, in 9 months. So that would take us to November. The week that was open for us was the 12th to the 18th. So we're going to start Saturday, the 12th. We hope to have a lot of our city officials on hand to just bring a greeting and maybe an affirmation about what we're doing. And then we're going to start, or we'll probably do a service Saturday and Sunday. And then during the week, our steering committee is going to indicate whether we'll meet 3 times a day or 2. But we've gotten participation from churches up and down the Treasure Coast, Revive down your way, up in Vero, Oceans United, Central Assembly, Vero Beach Baptist Church, and a couple other ministries there. Locally here, we have Mark Carrera at High Point, Bishop Green at Port St. Lucie Worship Center, Pastor Eduardo Urena at Prince of Peace Church of God, Apostle Banks, Genesis with Dave Zerhoff, and several others that are coming on board as we speak. And a lot of, right now we have up to 35 churches and ministries, Jonathan, that are praying every day for this
Praise
event.
Because
the
Praise
Lord
God.
Said, if we'll stay humble and just use the people that God has anointed and ordained here locally, we're going to see something happen very significant. We really feel like there'll be He said, call it a miracle on the water, not a meeting on the water. So we're expecting the supernatural presence and glory of God to fall on our community, our families, and we believe our nation. So,
amen. Well, Dave, we're going to be talking some more about this as we get closer to the event. Again, the event is in November?
Yes, November 12th to the 18th. At the Causeway Cove Marina, I believe that's 601 Seaway Drive, and we should be, our website is just about ready to go up, and I think they've opened up a Facebook page as well.
Good.
And we covet everyone's prayers, and literally, we've invited some other churches who had conflicts, but they said, Chaplain Dave, we're going to pray for you, we're going to promote it. We believe this is a God thing. So,
well, it's a busy time of year, and of course, some churches have things already scheduled, and that's what you're talking about as far as conflicts of schedules. Mm. But you know, sometimes when in the body of Christ, we talk about desiring to see a greater manifestation and move and work of God in our region, and you know, maybe we should understand that. That may require us to do something new other than just what we've always done. You know, maybe God's calling us to get out of our box, get out of our four walls, get out of maybe the limitations of our traditions, and choose to speak about Christ and Him crucified and come together as believers who know that Jesus Christ is the only answer for us individually and also for our nation. So, Dave, I'd like you just to lead us in prayer. I know there's a proclamation. Yes. We want to talk about that on another Wednesday.
Okay.
And how the proclamation is going to be given and how we have doors opening up in St. Lucie County. We're praying for those in Martin County as well, that the proclamation will spread. So lead us in a moment of prayer, Dave, as we just commit this into the hands of the Father.
Well, Father God, Jonathan and I have been here a long time, and Lord, we've never seen the body of Christ be so ready to come together for a time and a moment such as this. Lord, this is your idea. We all have plenty to do, but you said, get ready, get ready, get ready. I'm coming to town. So, Lord, we just ask for grace, and more grace for all the churches that are participating.
Amen.
Lord, we know that we've got a budget that's probably around $60,000, and where you guide, you provide. So we thank you in advance
Amen.
For everyone that will support what you're doing, not what we're doing, but it's all about you, God. And we thank you that this won't just be a church gathering, but we thank you that for lost souls that will come into the kingdom.
Thank you, Father.
We thank you for salvations. We thank you for healings and transformations to take place.
Thank you.
Let this truly be a time of refreshing. And Lord, we say, have thine own way in this miracle on the water. And we just thank you, Lord, for WCNO and for others that will help get the word out that it's time for a change. And we thank you. Lord, touch our region in a supernatural way for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Dave, keep up the great work, and we continue to believe God for that awakening and revival to be inside and outside the bars, right?
Amen. We're praying for good weather, too.
good weather for sure.
Yes.
Blessings to you
all
and your bride.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Give our love to all. Okay.
I will.
Have a great
God bless
day.
You.
Yes,
bye
sir.
Now.
Bye. All right, and that was Chaplain Dave Thompson, St. Lucie County. He's been a longtime friend of ours and obviously one who's shared the gospel with many people over the years. Karen, we did have a call, didn't we? Just tell us a little bit about that. We didn't have time to get into that today. But
right, so our brother Todd the plumber.
Todd
the plumber called in.
Todd, hey.
Hey, Todd.
And he said that he is a product of Chaplain Dave's ministry prison.
Praise really? God.
And yeah, he went through all of the program and everything they had. And
that's awesome.
And I think he said he learned the culinary, some culinary skills Of course, now he's plumbing.
He's a
well,
not sure how all that relates,
that he was that really, awesome. You know, about 15 years ago, I guess, when Chaplain Dave started that. So he's very fond of Chaplain Dave in the ministry that he has.
Well, Todd, we love you as well as Dave, and thank God for sharing that little bit of a testimony with us. We'll look to get you back on air. There's a prayer and share coming, and we're going to want to rope you in here and get you to open up your heart and talk about what's going on for sure. Yes, with the Miracle on the Water, we're just going to be kind of promoting that, letting you know what's going on because we can. And whoever's lifting up Jesus, we want to lift up Jesus with them, and we want to be a part of that team. I did have a call that just, or a text that just came in moments before we went on the air, and I understand Dr. Crandall is in the process of having some new additional events coming up in the near future. I'll be talking with Tim Popatic about those things. And so there's a lot that God has on his agenda, and I know that God is on the move. Well, we do have a guest in the studio with us today, and Dave, I thought perhaps maybe you'd like to just introduce us to some new ministry that's going to take place here with Brenda McMenamin.
Amen. Brenda McMenamin, Dr. Brenda McMenamin.
Yes.
Is a constitutional scholar. She is, first and foremost, a wonderfully faithful Christian woman, a strong believer in the Lord, and I know led by Him every day. And over the years that I've been here, and we kind of connected with Brenda in terms of constitutional issues, as we've seen things happening in our nation that have been concerning to us and frustrating. And
thank God we have a constitution.
Amen. We still do.
We do still have a constitution.
That's right. Listeners, yeah, and you'll find out more of why God is involved in all this. But yes, in spite of what you might watch on the regular or irregular news, depending, we still have a constitution. It's still in effect, and it's still connected to the living God. So we're going to have, we've been in dialogue. Actually, Brenda, when she was on here about a month or so ago, and afterwards, she shared with us there was a burden God put in her heart to do a program or think about a program here at the station. That developed into a conversation that is going to emerge from the production standpoint.
Going to materialize, isn't it?
It's going to materialize as a 3-minute program called Constitutional Conversations that will play. We'll play randomly throughout the weekdays, but it'll have a regular set time on Saturdays. Mm-hmm. And in that, Brenda's going to share with us the essentials, the God view, and the biblical worldview that the founders of our nation were given and invested, literally wove it into every fabric of those founding documents. The Constitution that emerges out of the Declaration of Independence. And then, of course, all the amendments to the Constitution are all linked. And so Brenda's here today to kind of share some things with us, a vision for the program, and perhaps some helpful words about what's going on in our current moment.
Welcome, Dr. Brenda McMenamin.
Well, thank you for having me. It's great to be here with y'all at WCNO again. And I am excited to be working on this project with you. We have such a heritage from the Lord that was bought from our founders. They pledged their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor to appeal to the supreme judge of the world. Mm. We find ourselves in a very similar situation right now, and it is very encouraging to learn from them what they went through, how they sought God and trusted God, and look at the victory that God gave them.
Amen. Amen. Now, you'd mentioned that earlier in our conversation before we went on the air, that what the founding fathers and mothers, in the sense that they've all supported many by their families, went through, and it was what they went through that influenced not just the drafting of the Declaration of Independence, but from that, the Constitution. So we're in kind of a parallel time. What did they go through that you're seeing happening today?
Well, I'm sure you're familiar with the Stamp Act. And I've got a list of what they went through right here. Let me just run down it real quick, and it'll be familiar to your listeners, but the Navigation Acts, the Molasses Acts, Albany Congress Sugar Act, Currency Act, Stamp Act, Quartering Act, Declaratory Act, and then more. You know, we've got the Boston Massacre, the Tea Act. But basically, you had over decades and generations kings in England at different times, 3,000 miles away, had given them charters so they could govern themselves under his authority. But then he just wipe out their houses of legislature, their self-government, their own laws, and impose his will on them by usually sending one of his pets to be a governor and wiping out their houses and everything that they had established over generations. And so I never learned that in high school. And so when they said that they wanted representation in their taxation, it wasn't like they just wanted to be represented back in England. They were used to making all their local laws of education, local taxation themselves. And then meeting whatever requirements the king gave them for the taxes owed, but they decided locally how to tax themselves. That's what they wanted to maintain.
And so all of these different acts were what?
It was kind of summed up in the word divine right of kings, if you're familiar with that term, where the king thought, because he was the king, that he was put there by God and could do whatever he wanted. And it's a very bad translation of Romans 13, 1 through 5.
Yes.
When, and I'm sure as pastors, you've read that. But when you really look at it, you see that the law is for the good of the people. That's what it says.
Yes, Jeremiah talks about that, that we're to pray for that, for the peace and prosperity and the good.
Yeah. Yes, yes. And so when we keep that perspective that even the king is under God's law,
yes,
then we expect him to govern himself in a certain way. And when he goes beyond that, it is our God-given responsibility to push back on his tyranny.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's, and this is, again, and I will say, I'm going to join the huge masses of Americans that are ignorant of the Constitution and really the intent of all the founding documents. I wasn't willfully ignorant. I was taught some of this when I was a kid, but you know what happens? I'm 72 years old. See, I've already forgotten how old I am.
You lost, almost lost a year.
I almost lost a year. So a lot of that is way behind me, and I am committed to recapturing, you know, a deep understanding of all of those documents. Mm-hmm. Part of that, the joy is I'm going to listen to your program. They had a lot of, there was a lot of oppression. Issues really oppressed those that were under the thumb of whatever king was in charge in that day. And then it moved, there was a movement of God, I'm going to say, that moved those colonies to unite against the King of England. And at some point, there was a war, and we all know the Revolutionary War.
Yeah.
And I'd like, because we're talking then, these documents were written in the power of the Spirit, but also in very difficult times.
Yes. And what's amazing when you talk about the tyranny of the king, when King George III began to tyrannize the colonies, it drove them to come into unity for their common defense and general welfare, because they were not united. They all read the Bible, and that was because they were a product of the Great Awakening and coming over for their religious liberty, but also the Great Awakening in the 1730s, specifically the founding generation. So they were all very biblically literate, and they didn't see how to govern themselves the same. Some of them wanted a monarchy, which is a governor type ship. Others wanted an eldership, like Reverend John Cotton and John Winthrop was more eldership. And then you have Reverend Thomas Hooker really believed in more of a congregational form of government. So it's fascinating to see their differences and how they try to work them out. And if they couldn't, they would split. And they'd be happy to be split. They'd be happy to follow their conscience. And what's amazing is that when the king tyrannized them and they had to come together and they made it, you know, they had to declare their independence. And so you see a beautiful introductory in the Declaration of Independence where it's talking that beautiful paragraph, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. So we get our rights from God, not from government.
Right.
That's kind of a news flash right now. I don't think that the younger generation know that at all. I don't think that's being taught in the schools, that among these are life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. So they agreed on these things, but what they had suffered from the King George III, they put down as 27 grievances. And so that's the middle part of the Declaration of Independence. And one of them is, see if this sounds kind of familiar with what we're going through right now. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance.
Sounds like 73,000 IRS agents being hired.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in the news, I'm just saying.
It does, doesn't it?
It really does.
And he goes on, well, it goes on, it says, he has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without our consent of our legislature. So it goes on, but that's the middle part of the Declaration of Independence is these injustices from the king. And then you have that epic ending where they're appealing to the supreme judge of the world. They had learned from Locke and Sidney and Montesquieu and Blackstone biblical principles of self and civil government that you need to resist the tyranny of the king, but never, ever, ever are you justified in aggressively coming toward the king. So their appeal was the appeal to the supreme judge of the world. And they trusted him to deliver them. Isn't that beautiful?
That is beautiful. And he did.
He did.
And against all odds, the Continental Army, which was much more poorly supplied than the British Army, won. And there is God's favor, and that's to God's glory. That's the only reason. I mean, they were good, hard men who fought for a cause, and they were passionate. And they're also godly men and women, because let's not forget the women were there fighting as much as they could, and some of the kids.
Oh,
so, and I want to address then, I want to lead from that to ask you your thoughts on one of the great, I'm going to have a preamble here, which is very short, but one of the great disconnects that human beings have when they're considering history is, it's almost an arrogance, I guess, and I'll admit that I've suffered from this too, only in the past, but that's all well and good what happened in the past, and they made mistakes, and that's obvious. But now I'm living in today, I'm better educated, I'm better resourced, I'm this and I'm that, all of these wonderful things that I have that I'm assuming they didn't. So we won't experience the problems again. Now that I think is particular to, I'm not against youth, but that's particular to youthful mind that I hear being expressed today. But what's your response to that in light of what you've been talking about?
I think that because we haven't been taught our true history from original documents, we don't realize and even recognize that a lot of what we're suffering right now with the high taxation, with inflation, with so many of our rights being taken away, with lockdowns, we don't understand the proper role of government. And we don't understand how much our own self-government is the foundation of our government. When you look up the word, the definition of government in the modern day dictionary, it talks about kind of, you know, the rule of the state and the Fed over us. When you look in the 1828 definition of government, it talks about self-government. It talks about family government. And that was the foundation of government. So there's a level of responsibility if we want to have liberty.
Right.
And what's amazing is Samuel Adams, when he was gathering some of the principles to unite the colonies so that they could declare their independence, in the rights of the colonies as Christians, he says, this may be best understood by reading and carefully studying the institutes of the great lawgiver, the head of the Christian church, which are to be found clearly written and promulgated in the New Testament.
Mm.
Isn't that amazing?
That's great.
And
that's great.
So they knew the New Testament. They knew that's where their rights came from, is from
the scriptures.
God.
The foundation of,
in his
of the scriptures.
Yeah. Isn't that beautiful? And that's so if beautiful. We lose that, then we will be a victim of whatever tyranny the government, the federal government, puts on us.
And today it seems that some of that tyranny is being manifested or crystallized in a increasing desire to become socialist,
yes,
in this country.
Yeah.
And that disturbs me, as I'm sure it disturbs you. And I'm going to say, and I appreciate your response to this, I'm going to say we've already identified that this current generation in school and several generations in the past have not been taught the Constitution. Mm-hmm. So they were easy prey for those very convincing arguments that socialists love to make, and especially in a time when it's so popular to be, you know, I'm going to put these in quotation marks, nice, and where niceness, you know, is seen as doing, yeah, I love to do something for other people. But when you weave that into a tax and spend socialistic mindset, you know, what do you have that's correlated with our founding fathers' time and experience?
I think one of the great examples is with Davy Crockett when he was in Congress. There'd been some kind of fire, and there was $20,000 of damage on different people's homes. And so Congress was in voting to spend some tax money to help these people. And Davy Crockett voted for it. It just sounded so wonderful. He went back home, and his constituent was furious with him and gave him a what for. So he comes back to Congress, and he says, how about if we each give a week of our wages out of our personal income to cover this expense? How many of you think voted for it?
Not many.
None. Because it wasn't their money. It was someone else's
right.
money. And so the socialists can paint this utopian picture. And you hear sometimes that, is it Acts 2, where they were selling everything they had,
mm-hmm.
and yeah. There wasn't a need? I think that's the vision that people get, but that was voluntary.
Right.
It yeah. wasn't forced. And so we see over and over again that what actually happens with socialism, which slides into communism and Marxism, is the slaughter of hundreds of millions of people.
Yes, yeah. over
it's
time.
It's just brutal.
20th century alone.
Yes.
From the early part and the rise of socialism in the what became the Soviet Union and the expansion of that. I mean, and what I've been reading, Stalin alone was responsible for killing over 60 million of his own, or more than 100 million of his own countrymen. And
a lot of
literally,
people.
So in purges and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm going to add to that today because abortion, although thank God that's shifting back to the states, and many states are very godly, at least in their legislators, that are going to put clamps on that and slow that down. But still, you know, in a sense, similar attitudes just cause the death of people mm-hmm. who otherwise should not die, but have those unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Yes.
God intended.
Yes. And Samuel Adams says, first of all, the natural rights of the colonist are these. First, a right to life.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which is so obvious when you just yeah. step back, you know, we don't have any of the other rights if we're not
right.
alive. That's really
right.
obvious. But I think what gives me such hope is when you see the church in general, and especially the young people, leaning more toward being pro-life. I think God mm-hmm. is doing something
Fresh.
In our hearts
yes.
where
yes.
we're saying, not on my watch. Oh, I realize good. That is a human being made in the image of
it's
God
good.
That needs to be protected.
It's good. We're going to go to a song. It's a song that we play often here, and it's just a song about revival, because I really am looking to see God bring us a fresh revival. Then we're going to be back.
Only you can heal our land.
And indeed, that is the desire of our heart. We want to see revival. And that is what we're praying for and working as God gives us wisdom and opportunity to do that. And again, I want to commend all of you who, at least in counties that were voting, for your voting biblical truth and values, looking to raise up godly and righteous leadership in our land. And of course, some counties may have different dates and such forth set up, but this is a big deal. And of course, we have Dr. Brenda McMenamin that is with us this morning. But Paul and Maul had kind of stuck their nose in here, and we're just going to have a little moment segue with them, because just never can really be sure where Ma and Pa are going to come from. But then we come back. Brenda, I'm going to ask you when we come back after Ma and Pa to address what is alarming to some of us in this recent raid on President Trump's home. And, you know, I've heard in the news this has never happened historically. This is a first time. And I want you to address, what is this saying, and where are we standing, and how is this happening when we come right back? Ma and Paul, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
And from time to time, the stories that we hear from Ma and Paul, the two of you, telling us sound almost fantastic. Yet we know that they are seeking to give us, you are seeking to give us, a clear report as possible concerning what they are seeing and experiencing in their life. We also know that throughout the span of their story, there will be a profound revelation from the Lord that can be shared with our listeners. They have such a story for us today, and so as to not waste more precious airtime, I want to move immediately to Ma and Paul and the golden missive they are about to impart.
Hey, Ma, you got a minute?
Well, I don't have a whole lot of time, Pa. Mary Lou Franger Bratton is picking me up in a few minutes.
What's she coming all the way out here for?
Well, she finally decided to do something about all them varicose veins she's got.
I guess it's about time. You know, looking at her legs is like looking at a map of the interstate highway system. Why, I remember one of them little kids at church one Sunday took a look at her legs and started crying up a storm. Well, his daddy says he's still in therapy.
It's true. Those veins are sure overdue for fixing. But she's afraid something bad will happen. One of them elderly ladies at church told her she could bleed out if the doctor didn't do it right. But anyway, Pa, What is it you wanted to tell me?
Well, I just came back from downtown. Went by the Ford place to pick up some parts I ordered for that old tractor I just... Oh, the parts manager, Bixley Zagermech, had a big old story to tell me.
Oh, that man's always telling stories. Not sure how many of them are actually true, though.
This one story you can see reported in the Bickers Corner Herald tomorrow, with pictures. Oh, do you remember old Zeke Colliquali?
I believe so. Ain't he that fella that had too much to drink while he was doing counted cross stitch? And he sewed his hands together.
Yep, that's him.
And then didn't he run into the butcher shop downtown to cut them stitches with their meat slicer?
That he did. And before he could do that, old Alfred Zinkwinkle, the butcher, caught him, took him back to his office, and sobered him up. And when he was reasonable, oh, he led him to the Lord.
Of course. I have a clear memory now. That Zeke feller became a faithful disciple, and he even got his job back with Bickers Corner Utilities. So what does he have to do with your news?
Well, Zeke was in the sewer system beneath the downtown shopping area. He was looking for leaks, failing equipment and such. When he went back into a section of pipes what pumped the water to the reclamation plant, he found a still.
A still? You mean someone was making moonshine in the city sewer? City sewer? Did he know who it was?
Yeah, pretty good idea. It was old Wally El Tergo.
Oh, well, what led him to suspect old Wally?
Well, because Wally was passed out next to the still. So Zeke knew he couldn't reason with Wally till he was sober. He picked him up, threw him over his shoulder, and carried him out of the sewer.
So how could that have caused all the ruckus downtown?
Well, old Zeke was so intent about sobering Wally up, he failed to notice that the still was all fired up, making another batch of moonshine. You know, them stills have to be watched constantly. If the fire ain't kept at a certain level, disaster is sure to strike.
And I'm guessing that disaster struck?
Oh, that it did, Ma. With the fire unattended, wasn't but a few minutes after Zeke and Wally had exited the sewer that it exploded. Well, old Wally had been making a particularly powerful batch of moonshine. So when the still went, the force of the explosion was not unlike, the detonation of a tactical nuclear device. Pressure wave was immense.
Oh, Pa, that is terrible.
I can tell you're compassionate about it.
I am. I'm so sorry again, laughing at these mishaps with people.
I know. They're horrible.
Was anybody hurt?
Some folks, but no mortal wounds. Old Adelaide Stumpley was crossing the street at the time. Happened to be standing right on a manhole cover. She must have gone up over 100 feet in the air.
I thought you said no one was seriously injured.
Oh, she was fine, Ma. She came down in a dumpster what was filled with loaded trash bags. And after she landed, old Marcus Pollifer ran up and hosed her down.
What do you mean, hosed her down?
Well, Ma, her dress was on fire. Anyway, at the same time old Adelaide was being elevated on that manhole cover, the pressure wave had also moved quickly through the main sewer, blowing other manhole covers high into the air. Folks were too stunned to move. Thankfully, no one was clobbered by them steel covers as they fell to the earth. However, one did land smack dab on a fire hydrant. It got busted up good. And, you know, immediately a geyser of water shot up into the air. The water hit a flock of turkey vultures what was headed into a nearby alley to feast on a deceased possum. They got stunned and one by one fell into the chimney at Farley's Barbecue while he was smoking a passel of ribs.
I hate to ask this, Pa, but are you about to run out of the story?
Oh, not quite yet, Ma. So anyway, them vultures got woke up quick when they landed on them hot ribs. I guess they was confused for a second, seeing as they had found a treasure trove of dead meat. But the heat was too much, and they made such a ruckus trying to get out of the oven. Well, the feller tending the oven heard the sounds of terrified buzzards smashing themselves against the oven door. So he opened it to see what was going on. Them buzzards flew out of that oven, their feathers aflame, and proceeded to interrupt the lunchtime patrons in the dining room. Before you know it, everyone was racing out into the street, followed by them buzzards all aflame, smoking, feathers flying everywhere.
Oh, goodness, Pa, that's terrible. But nobody got hurt bad, right?
Oh, that's right. Them terrified diners at the barbecue were so afraid. Well, they ran right into the middle of the street with all that heavy traffic. Nobody was hit, but all them cars were stopped all along the street. Sadly, the explosion weakened the structural integrity of the asphalt, and all them cars fell into the sewer.
What? Pa, that is a tragedy.
It certainly is, but it ain't as much a tragedy as what happened at the water treatment plant.
Oh, I'm afraid to ask, but you're going to tell me anyway.
Well, yeah, the explosion had such a powerful pressure wave that it broke the main pump from the pumping station to the treatment plant. All that sewage was forced down the pipe and into the intake pipes at the station because they couldn't hold the pressure. They burst. Oh, I'm told that sewage rain which resulted covered everything and everyone. You know, in all of this, Ma, the only person we might suggest was injured severely is our mayor, who is running for re-election in November. A poll taken right after this debacle showed his approval rating, well, ironically, in the sewer.
Well, Pa, after a story like this, we always get a message from the Lord, and I wonder what we might get today.
Well, Proverbs 24:21-22 came to mind. This is what it says. My son, fear the Lord and the King, and do not join with those who do otherwise. For disaster will arise suddenly from them, and who knows the ruin that will come from them both. Folks don't follow Jesus fail to understand that their sin doesn't occur in a vacuum. Sin has consequences for them and others around them. Today, old Zeke Coligualli was the epicenter of a sin event that literally impacted the whole town. About the only good thing that happened is there ain't no more rats in their sewer system.
Paul is right. We don't sin in a vacuum. Every sin touches several lives, and its touch brings destruction in one way or another. Today is a great day to get your life in order and to give your life to Jesus Christ. Let him come into your heart and begin a holy work of transformation that will enable you to avoid the worst disaster that is attributable to sin, your soul having to spend an eternity in hell. Well, we never know what Ma and Paul are going to bring to us, but sounds like everybody's going to survive over at Bicker's Corner.
More or less, yeah.
More or less. Good, good. Well, we have a few minutes left, and Brenda, what about what's going on in our land today? It seems a lot of insanity. Where are we?
It is insane. And when people say that it hasn't happened in our land, they're speaking specifically after we've enjoyed law under the Constitution.
Ah.
But before then, if you go back to the Declaration of Independence and the grievances, the next two after the one I just read says, and it's referring to King George III, he has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislatures. He has affected to render the military independent of and superior to civil power. Mm. So this is something that the founding fathers were suffering, is his tyranny and out of control behavior, tyranny. Mm. And so what they did when they wrote the Constitution was put law in place so that the next generation would not have to suffer these grievances. That's what they gave us. And so it's so important, and it's fascinating to learn the original intent. For instance, they believed from, this is Deuteronomy 17, it's 18:20, where the king was being instructed, says, also it shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book, and then drop down to verse 20, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren.
Mm.
That's what God wants in a king, is to rule justly and not be above the law. But the law is written, like our Constitution is written, and everyone is equal under the law.
So, Brenda, when President Trump's home is approached and ransacked, so it appears just looking at the news, And then in the news, I hear them say this has never happened to a president before.
Yes.
That tells me something's going on right now that is contrary to what has been seen as acceptable, lawful behavior for previous governments.
Correct.
So where are we with that? What happens now? What does the Constitution say? Is there any, where do we go?
Well, you have Article 5, which is how the Constitution is amended. And so there's a constitutional amendment process through Congress. All the amendments we have, the 27 amendments, have been proposed by Congress. But Congress knows we want a human life amendment. They haven't given it to us. They know that we want a balanced budget. And they know that we want term limits, and they're not giving it to us. So the founders gave us a second way through a convention of the states. I don't know if you've heard of that, but that is, there's three different ones. One's the balanced budget amendment. The other one's term limit amendment. Those are proposals right now. And then there's convention of states, which is growing incredibly fast.
And so how does that work?
Well, you have to have 34 states call for an amendment, for a convention of the states, okay, where they propose amendments. And then the ratification process is exactly the same as if the amendments were proposed by Congress. So that part of is the same.
But they force it to the floor, in essence.
Well, it's not. It doesn't go through Congress.
Oh, it doesn't?
No, it goes back to the states to be ratified either by conventions or legislatures, but it's got to be 38 states, which I'm glad. I mean, it's going to be really hard, but we have, I believe, 16 states already that have passed an application to have a convention.
And 16?
So, yes, already. And
close
so,
to half.
Yeah, and then what their goal is specifically, and if people are interested, they can go to conventionofstates.com. But they've got amendment proposals to rein in the federal branches back to the original intent of the Constitution. And if you're familiar with Mark Levin, he wrote a book called Liberty Amendments, proposing the same thing. So he's got written amendments he's proposing. Convention of States is raising up the grassroots and educating the people to carry it.
Okay, well, excellent. Wow. So what you're saying is that there are some positive things taking place that are within the realm of the original intention of the law.
Bottom line, we the people of God have got to come back to Him.
There you
so
go.
We need revival, our repentance,
yeah, absolutely,
and we need reformation.
Absolutely, absolutely. Both. Repentance and reformation will follow repentance for sure.
Amen.
For sure. We'll definitely do that. Karen, any wisdom as we're finishing off the day? Prayer and share is coming.
Yes, prayer and share is
coming. And we're
coming,
getting ready, aren't we?
Very soon, yes.
And we have a lot of friends out there that make this ministry possible, and we want to say...
That's right. We want to say...
Thank you!
Thank you.
Karen's looking at me like, where are you going with this? Well, go ahead and say what you were going to say.
That's okay.
No, I want to hear it. We have a minute and a half for you to say it. It's okay. Okay.
No, we're just looking forward to prayer and share.
Yeah, man.
And hearing again from our listeners.
Yes.
Which, you know, I think we enjoy it as much as... The listeners tell us they enjoy it. And so we just look forward to it October 4th, starting October 4th.
So you're going to be receiving a letter from us. We send out letters a couple times a year. And, of course, we also now have a growing base that we email. And a lot more donations are coming in online and such forth now. And some are even text in. And that works quite well. But we want to thank all of you who make this ministry possible. And listen, if you pledged in the past and you've not been able to fulfill your pledge, you can still get that in before we get into our next six-month cycle, which actually will start in October. And so we want to thank all of you who pray for us daily, who keep this ministry on your heart, those of you who are a part of Gideon's Army. And I want to just say a big thank you to all of you who pray for us daily, or as the Lord puts this ministry on your heart, who give regularly to the support of the ministry and to our co-laborers with us. Every day as we bring the Word of God through many programs and music, you are right here with us making that possible. And David, we have about 15 seconds for a closing prayer. Why don't you do that today, and let's just speak the blessing of God.
I also made